Ask you this morning to please open with me to two portions of scripture. The first is the book of Genesis, chapter 21, and we'll read from verse 1 to 6, and then Psalm 126, verse 1 to 6. Okay? Genesis, chapter 21. And we'll read from verse 1 to 6. And the Lord God visited Sarah, as he had said. I want you to underscore the phrase, as he has said. And the Lord God did unto Sarah as he has spoken. Again, underscore the phrase, as he has spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. Everybody say, the set time. At the set time of which God had spoken. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God hath commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old. I want you to take note of that. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Psalm 126, verse 1 to 6. Psalm 126, verse 1 to 6. When the Lord turned the captivity, I repeat, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then, verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, wherefore we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless, I want you to underscore that word, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the entrance of thy word gives light and understanding to the simple. We ask, Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher of all, that you will open the eyes of our inner understanding, that you will illuminate us, O God, and cause your word to be light unto us, a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. As we walk the treacherous paths and terrains of this world, Father, we look unto you to grant that the entrance of thy word will cause faith to be birthed in our hearts, that we may run unimpaired in the ways of your commandment. We receive your word in Jesus' name. This morning I'd like to exhort you on what, for the sake of reference, I've titled Understanding Your Season of Laughter. Everybody say understanding my season of laughter. I don't need to introduce you to laughter. Laughter is perhaps one of those natural but yet enigmatic instincts of man. I have rarely come across any man, no matter how bad, no matter how wicked, no matter how notorious he is, no matter how beat under, trodden under, rolled over by the circumstances and difficulty of life, I have yet to come across one man who does not laugh. I remember some time ago I watched, it was an action movie, and there was this, you know, really, really as hard as they get, prison officer, who was supposed to be so mean that he, you know, redefined the meaning of mean. And throughout the whole movie, he didn't smile. He was so stone and had faith. But at the end of the movie, as one of the prisoners walked out of the cell, out of the prison cell, he was released, and as he was walking out, they stopped by and looked at him and said, "That can't be true." And suddenly, that half faith, that strong faith that he had maintained all throughout the movie, just melted away into a smile and broke out into a laugh. Why? Because God is the author of laughter. Everybody say, God is the author of laughter. As you observe men, you would find that there are various things that make us laugh in life. We laugh out of, sometimes we laugh out of a sense of cynicism. In other words, somebody says something to you and it sounds, you know, untrue. You are very doubtful about it. And that is one of the things we see in the scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 17 verse 17. And again in Genesis 18, 12. God appeared to Abraham. And by his divine word spoke unto him and said, "I am going to visit you, and you and your wife, despite your old age, will have a child." In other words, I am going to make the impossible to become a reality in your life. I am going to visit you and I'm going to perform something. And they just could not get their head around that. And out of a sense of cynicism, the Bible tells us that both Sarah and Abraham, they laughed. And Abraham said to himself, "Will a child be born unto me that I'm 100 years old and my wife Sarah, who is 90 years old?" On the second occasion in Genesis 18:12, when an angel of the Lord visited them again and repeated the same promise, Sarah was in the tent and she overheard what the angel said. And the Bible tells us that she laughed on the inside of her heart. We laugh sometimes at the sense of cynicism. Out of a sense of cynicism. If I walk past you now and I told you this time next year you'll be a billionaire, you probably laugh. And then you continue your journey. Again, we laugh sometimes because certain things are just ridiculous. You know, not only out of a sense of cynicism, but it's ridiculous. It just doesn't seem right. It's all the laws of nature just are against what we are dealing with. And so you laugh, you know, because something is ridiculous. In the Bible, we see that the children of Israel were mocked and they were ridiculed by the Hornites and the Tobiah, because when they were trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, because as far as those people were concerned, this was a task that could not happen. We laugh at things because they are ridiculous. Sometimes we laugh because in response to external stimuli. So somebody tickles you, you laugh. You see a mother playing with her little child, tickles the child, and the child begins to laugh. We laugh for this reason. Sometimes people laugh because they are intoxicated. If you doubt me, go out on Friday evening and you will laugh your head off. But the drunk and the observer will end up laughing. The drunk man will find everything amusing. Suddenly, just a train, a normal train, coming to its normal stop, and the doors opening, which suddenly seems so amusing to an intoxicated man. You know, when we are intoxicated, we can end up laughing and, you know, we just, but whatever the case is, this is the point. Laughter is good for you. Say to your neighbor, say, laughter is good for you. Again, even the scripture buttresses this. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. I want to read a few excerpts from you, I mean to you, that I've picked up from some, you know, medical journals. Listen to this one. It says, talking about some of the therapeutic value of laughter. Laughter lowers blood pressure. Can you believe that? It activates the immune system. Can you believe that? You can literally give yourself a jab by just laughing. It triggers the release of endorphins, which are the body's natural painkiller. It reduces stress hormones, helps to reduce pain, allows muscles to relax, and it's helpful for breathing, as frequent laughter empties the air of the lungs. Now listen to this one. A team of at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, led by Dr. Michael Miller, has recently showed for the first time that laughter is linked to healthy function of blood vessels. And he goes on to say, laughter along with an active sense of humor may help protect you against heart attack. So those of you who spend all your day worrying about heart attack, and at the slightest feel of something against you, oh, there it goes. According to recent study by cardiologists at the University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore, the study, which is the first to indicate that laughter may help prevent heart disease, found that people, listen to this, people with heart disease were 40% less likely to laugh in a variety of situations compared to people of the same age without heart disease. That's incredible. And to think that the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22 that laughter, listen to this, it says, a merry heart or laughter doeth good like medicine. What some of us need in our life, it's not medicine and medicine and medicine and quantums of them. Some of us need good old laughter. Amen. Now listen to this. So we laugh for various reasons, and it is good to laugh. And it would seem that all kinds of laughter are the same and equal. The wicked man laughs, the non-believer laughs, the good man laughs, the saved and the unsaved, they all laugh. So does that mean that all kinds of laughter are good or are from the same sources? Listen to this. And it will appear that the scripture contradicts itself, but I beg to differ. Proverbs 14:13, listen to this. It says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Whew. Now, I would have thought that, well, Proverbs meant that if you laughed, you automatically would get medicinal benefits from laughing. It didn't matter whether you laughed because somebody fell down. I mean, yesterday I was in the room and studying, and my wife just walked in, and she was wearing a pair of trousers that looked like it had had an accident in the washing machine. And so I just started laughing, and I'm like, oh my God, what's that? What's that you're wearing? It looked ridiculous to me. And she said, oh, no, no, that's the way it was made and all of that. So I just naturally, and I just found it ridiculous. Amen. I just found it ridiculous. That was the way it looked to me. So I just laughed. And I'm not saying that we should not enjoy good old humor. You know, some of us laugh, you know. I like comedy films, I mean, the really stupid, funny ones, you know, because it makes me laugh, and it just makes me loosen up and just be myself. That was a long time ago when I was very unwell, and a bit of it had to do with it was an inorganic illness. So nothing was physically wrong with me, but perhaps a bit of depression here and there. And I remember my wife made this observation. She said, there was a movie that came out. What's the name now? Can't remember. But anyway, I got that movie as a comedy film, and I put it on, and I played it. My wife said that was the turning point. She said, she saw me from that day on. I was just laughing and laughing. She couldn't believe it. So laughter is good for you. It has its own benefits. But I want to introduce you, given the caveat we just read, that sometimes, even in laughter, the heart can be sorrowful. I want to introduce you to a kind of laughter that is impermeable by sorrow. Listen to this. I'm talking here about the laughter that comes from God. I want you to know that God is a God of laughter, and God does make people laugh. If God has never tickled you before, then you are missing out. Did you hear me? If God has never tickled you before, then you are missing out. Because God makes his people to laugh. You see in the book of Genesis how Sarah, a woman in a seemingly despondent situation, all hopes lost, all the loss of nature were pointing to the fact that, you know, this woman is barren, she's crossed the line, she's past the point of no return, it will never ever happen again. Even despite the fact that, I mean, you have to imagine how bad their situation was for an angel to have appeared to them and told them, for God himself to have told them, I will visit you and you have a child. And yet, it still sounded ridiculous to them. Can you imagine what we're talking about here? They were in a dire situation. And yet the Lord appeared to her. As he had said. At the time he had spoken of, and he visited them in that season when he had planned to bring laughter into their lives. And the Bible says, Sarah, who had laughed the first time, but out of a sense of cynicism and ridicule, she laughed once more, but this time, it was not a laughter that was prompted by something looking so, sounding so silly and looking so stupid and impossible, but she laughed because of something that God had done in her life. And she said, God has made me to laugh so that those who hear will laugh with me. I pray your season of laughter will come in Jesus' name. And if you've never experienced this laughter I'm talking about, that God will visit you and he will tickle you. He will make you laugh in the name of Jesus. Again, we see in Psalm 126, it says, and when the Lord turned around the captivity, again the captivity of Zion, then were we like them that dream. Let me talk a little bit about the situations that make us think sometimes that we will never be able to laugh. Our situations sometimes are so challenging. Abraham, 100 years. Sarah, 90 years. She was past the point where she wasn't even ovulating anymore. Can you imagine that? Okay, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, her womb at that point was dead. But when the one who the Bible calls the resurrection and the life says, I will do something in your life. He asked in the book of Jeremiah, he said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And Jeremiah replied and said, Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth with your power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. If he made it, he can fix it when it's broken. Amen. And so sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where It just does not seem possible that any amount of intervention can bring us out of it. Some of you might be in a situation, maybe a marital crisis, for example, where it seems that this marriage is over. You might have a child who's gone wayward, and as far as you are concerned, this is it, it's over. There is no amount of, even if it was born again, his spirit is being ruined. He cannot be saved. I've had people say that about their situation. I've had people so despondent that they feel no amount of intervention can change their life. But listen to me, I've got good news for you this morning. What God said, Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Sometimes our experience with men, we inadvertently transpose the same observation of the character of men on God when it comes to our dealings with God. Men lie to us. Some of us have had fathers who lied like dogs. And you saw them lie. And you were used to somebody you would call a father, you were used to seeing them lie. So when you became a Christian, in your dealings with God, the only difference as far as you are concerned is that well, he's a heavenly father, but so he tells heavenly lies. That's the way some of us see it. But God is not a man. He's a different person. He's divinity. And when God says, I will do it, he will do it. And that's why I like, you know, when you read the story, which time will not permit us to do, but if you read Genesis 17, 18, when the promise was being delivered, I like the way the Bible goes back in Genesis chapter 21 to recap, to remind the reader that what God is doing now is what he said he would do. And he is doing it at the time, the first time he said he would do it. It's not always that we laugh, because laughter, unlike joy, is a seasonal thing. That's why when you read the Bible, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says we should laugh always. But when you read the scripture, you would notice the Bible says we should rejoice always, and again we should rejoice. That's because joy is that inner exuberance that we have. It's an inner bubbling, inner exuberance we have because of the presence of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Romans 14:17 tells us the kingdom of God is not in meat, in drink, but in righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. So we can always be joyful, no matter what is happening around us. But the difference with laughter is that laughter is prompted by a deliberate, a tangible, and a timed intervention of God in our life. Let me repeat that. Laughter, or this kind of laughter I'm talking about, is prompted by a deliberate, a targeted, and a timed intervention of God in our life. Sarah was not always laughing. There were times when she was crying, when she would look at other women cuddling their own babies. And she will feel the pain that, so is this what my life has come to? And perhaps you are in that shoe, where you are going through an area of pain in your life now, where you are crying and you are weeping. You are joyful nonetheless, in the sense that the Holy Spirit is present in you, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. God will never leave us 1 minute without strength. The Holy Spirit is always there, and it is this joy, this invisible joy that keeps you going. When everything else around you does not seem to stack up, this joy keeps you going. But you may not be laughing, but yet joyful. And so many of us may find ourselves in that situation where there are challenges going on, and you look at other people and you think, why is my life like this? Why can't I just have that? There is a season and an appointed time. Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time and a season for every purpose of God. Ecclesiastes 3. Under the heavens And one of the things, there is a time for you, is a time to mourn and a time to laugh. Laughter comes in seasons that God has set. I cannot come here now and tell you that your season of laughter has come. But I want you to know that your season of laughter will come in Jesus' name. If God has spoken words over your life and about your life, and you can clearly underpin those words in the scripture and back them up by the word of God, not words frivolously interpreted, but words interpreted in a balanced and scriptural way, then there is no reason why you cannot expect that your season of laughter will come. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. I want you to look up to God and expect of him to visit you. The Bible says in Psalm 102, verse 13, listen to this. It says, thou will arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. When the time to favor Zion comes, God will arise over Zion. God will turn around the captivity of Zion. God will perform his sure mercies on Zion. And Zion shall be delivered and Zion will laugh. When the Lord turned around the captivity of Zion, then were we like them that dreamed. And then was our mouth filled with laughter. Let me say something about this laughter quickly as I wrap up. Our laughter, or the kind of laughter we're talking about here, is so, God is so central to it. When you read, again, Genesis 12, Psalm 126, see the number of times that the name God and the Lord was mentioned. This kind of laughter far transcends, it's a laughter. Listen. There are some challenges in your life you would have that no matter how many comedy films you watch, you will not solve the problem. If after you've watched the last comedy film, you will still confront that problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is just the very basic level of laughter that is available to all men. The kind of laughter we are talking about here is the laughter that is available to the people on Mount Zion. The people of God's kingdom. The ones that he has chosen for himself. The ones that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The one that belongs to those who can come before him and call upon his name. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you and I will deliver you. That's the kind of laughter we are talking about here. It says, the set time to favor Zion comes. And when that time comes, it says, thou would arise and have mercy upon Zion. When your season of laughter comes, the Lord will visit you. No matter how long that problem has lasted, no matter how long that problem has been around, when the season of laughter comes and the Lord says, this is the time for you to laugh, you will laugh. And this is the good news. When God decides to make us laugh, it does not matter who has mocked us in the past. It does not matter how much shame we have had to endure in the past. It does not matter how many people have trodden under us and ridiculed us in the past. Listen to this. It says, when the Lord turned around the captivity of Zion, then were we like them that dream, and then was our mouth filled with laughter. But listen to this. It says, and then said they among the heathen, their God has done great things for them. Right. Even those who have been observers of your life, who have kept tabs on your life, and kept a journal of the evils that have befallen you, they will be forced to rewrite your story in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord visits you, he will perform such a great wonder in your life that all men, even the heathen, will be stupefied by it. Amen. Understanding your season of laughter. Let me give you a few tips about preparing for your season of laughter. Time will fail me, but I'll just list the two. Number one is this. As you begin to prepare for your season of laughter, understand this. That seasons of laughter are often preceded by seasons of intense prayer. Seasons of laughter are often preceded by seasons of intense and consistent prayer. If you read the story of Hannah, for example, she was another woman who had a desperate challenge that made her cry and weep. But the joy of the Lord was her strength and kept her going. But nonetheless, she was crying. Her family, her friends, loved ones, enemies, foes, everybody had a go at her. She was in a very desperate situation. But the Lord visited her. And the Lord performed his sure mercies unto her. And now listen, as she goes in to give thanks to the Almighty God. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. Listen to this. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Now listen to this. This is what I said about joy and laughter. I said, I rejoice in your salvation. Joy does not focus on, I have this, I don't have that. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. When he says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it means the kingdom of God does not depend, does not get its stimulus from what we can feel, taste, or touch. So as a Christian, I cannot be a joyful Christian because I have a car or not. Whether I have a car or not, I am a joyful Christian. Whether I have money to pay my rent or not, I am a joyful Christian. I may not be laughing until I get the money to pay the rent, but I remain a joyful Christian. And the reason why joy is maintained all throughout is that joy is our strength. Laughter is not our strength, it's an expression of something God has done in our life. Joy is always there as a firm foundation, keeping us all the time, no matter where we are, what we are doing, and what we are going through. And so she maintains it. And this is a testimony of someone who remained joyful despite what she was going through. And look at verse 26 to 27, when God visited her and performed his sure mercy. Listen to this. She said, and she said, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 26 to 27, and she said, oh my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood here before thee, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Seasons of laughter are often preceded by seasons of persistent and consistent and fervent prayer. James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted? It didn't say let him watch comedy films. It didn't say just sit down and, you know, stand outside your balcony and look at the ridiculous and the silly and all that's happening around you and just get a laugh from that. Not that any of those is criminal. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray for that person, anointing him with oil. And if he has committed any sin, he shall be forgiven. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. God has given us tools that we can seize upon as we wait and prepare for our seasons of laughter. And then finally, let us remember this, that the fact that our own seasons of laughter not yet upon us, it does not stop us from laughing. Listen to what Sarah said again. God has made me to laugh so that those who hear will what? Will laugh with me. Sometimes we laugh not as a direct response of things that God is doing in our own individual life, but in the lives of other people. There is opportunity for you and I to find laughter in what God is doing in the lives of other people. It cannot always and only be about I, me, and myself, us three, and nobody else. And that's why the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing piercer's seed, shall doubtless return, bringing his sheaves in with him. In your time of difficulties, you still find place to be a helper of other people's joy in the body of Christ. And not to say, because I'm going through this difficulty, I have no time for anybody else, and you still find an opportunity to celebrate with other people, to rejoice with them, to laugh along with those who are laughing. Believe me, your season of laughter is just around the corner. Bible says he shall doubtless return, bringing his sheep in with him. Listen to this. Our times are in God's hands. He controls our destiny. When God, according to his sovereignty, decides to intervene in our lives, the season of laughter is upon us. We cannot force laughter, but we can pray. And we can rejoice while we wait for the manifestation at the set time. Amen. I want to pray for folks here this morning who say, well, you know, I'm waiting for my season of laughter. We heard the testimony this morning that God does answer prayer. No matter how difficult, no matter what the doctor's prognosis is, no matter what your bankers are saying, no matter what your employers are saying, at the end of the day, as the psalmist said, in the morning, will I offer my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. We look unto Jesus, not unto men. Not unto our situations, not unto our circumstances, not unto our difficulties. I want you to seize this opportunity this morning to bring your challenge before God in prayer. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. It can't be any more simpler than that. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Can we rise up to our feet quickly, please? I'd like us to be in agreement with this so quickly. For the next 1 minute, just hold your hands. Hold somebody's hands who's standing next to you. Heavenly Father, we stand together in agreement this morning that you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. What you said, what you have spoken, what you propose to do, you will do, because your words will never fail nor fall to the ground. Father, I ask, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we present our cases and petitions before you this morning, that you will stretch forth your hands, O God, and intervene in the situation of every life who is here represented, O God, this morning before you in the name of Jesus Christ. That you will cause there to be a speedy performance of the good pleasure of your will in our life in the name of Jesus. We ask that there will be healing when any is sick in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that there will be deliverance. We ask for your peace. We ask for your joy. We ask for the manifestation of your power to cause yokes and burdens of adversity to be broken and destroyed in the name of Jesus. Father, we rejoice in your salvation. We rejoice in you, O God, because you are the strength of our life and the joy of our salvation. Thank you, Father, for we wait on you and we shall not be disappointed. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.